The Business News Hour is made possible through the support of RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts with offices throughout the metro. Learn more at homeconnectusa.com. And the Strudel House Fine Austrian Dining. Ask about the gourmet passport, thestrudelhouse.com.
We are all together on a Tuesday afternoon, 72 degrees in the capital city. With us in studio is Hillary Burbank, and Hillary Burbank is a program coordinator for Global Greens. That's an initiative of the Lutheran Family Services of Iowa Refugee Community Services. That's a lot of stuff in front of your name. Hi, Hillary.
Hi.
How are you today?
Very good. Good. Thank you.
Thanks for doing this. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
I had no idea this program existed before I was visiting with some friends from Urban Ambassadors.
Mm-hmm.
And CG, who is with Urban Ambassadors on the board, was telling me about this fabulous program and what it is that you do. And it's affiliated with Lutheran Services of Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit about this, Hillary. What in the world is Global Greens?
So Global Greens is essentially a program to connect folks who have come as refugees, come to the United States to connect them back to land. So most of the folks that have come as refugees, for the most part, have agricultural backgrounds. So it's a very natural fit for people to get involved in community gardens, want to farm here. So we kind of provide a spectrum of ways that people can engage with agriculture. So that can be through community gardens, just for home consumption at a smaller scale. And then we also have people who want to start farming as a business. So we have a incubator training farm where folks can farm at a larger scale and start selling and eventually want to own some of their own land.
Okay, so Global Greens also through LSI, if I understand it correctly, you also do a farmer's market, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the outlets that the farmers sell through. So we host a farmer's market every Saturday morning from 9:30 to 2:30. And it's kind of a really small market, easy to get in and out of, a fun cultural experience. And it's also just kind of another piece of the training program. So it's a place for people to experience what it's like to sell in the United States. With some of our larger scale farmers, we're working on having them move towards selling downtown at the larger farmers market. But
so
this is
a
good
step.
First step.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is a step. When we talk about urban gardening in particular and this type of a program, where are you actually at growing this stuff? I mean, do we have enough land out there?
There's always more land
that we
need. Yeah.
But there are places out there that probably people don't recognize that they are now garden centers.
Yeah, we have about 12 community gardens around Des Moines. So those are located all over Des Moines, some on the south side, some central. Just we really try to pair them with where a lot of families are living, so certain apartment complexes and places like that. But our actual farm site is out in West Des Moines in partnership with Valley Church. They happen to have some land available and have been great partners to give us about 5 acres that we're using for the farmland right now out in West Des Moines.
I would imagine many people would be surprised as to where some of these refugees may be coming from.
Mm-hmm.
You got a kind of a idea of where are they coming from?
Yeah. The biggest populations that have come in the last about 5 to 7 years have been from Burma. A lot of the ethnic minorities within Burma have been having to flee their countries and flee to Thailand, flee to Myanmar, and then have come to, not to Myanmar, to Malaysia.
Right.
And then also a lot of folks from Bhutan who have fled to Nepal in refugee camps there. A lot of Iraqis. And then previous to that, a lot of Central Africans. So Congo, Burundi, Rwanda, Somalia, Sudan. So there's a lot of countries. And then continuing to come, there's a lot of Congolese that are coming up that are going to be resettled here. So
I think this is one of the most surprising things for people to try to wrap their heads around.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you've been an Iowa native or if you've lived in the state for as long as I have, you know, you take a look around and say, well, everybody's a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. What are you kidding about? You know, so there's some folks that are from south of the border, Latinos, but really? Nairobi?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be kidding me. But that is real. If you go, ladies and gentlemen, I just have to tell you this from personal experience. And this is not a plug for the grocery store, okay? But if you go to, for example, like an Aldi grocery store, it is like the United Nations of grocery stores. It is just fascinating.
Yeah.
All of the different cultures and people. And at your event.
Yeah.
on Saturday morning.
Uh-huh.
That would be like the United Nations of farmers markets.
Yeah, we really try to market to the refugee community themselves as well. So we want all types of folks coming to our farmers market. So some of our farmers grow a lot of the native crops from their countries, which are pretty specialized, and it's hard for some people to find. So we want people to come looking for those. And then we have people who are originally from the United States who want to try new things or just get, you know, we have tomatoes, carrots, cucumbers. Right. I mean, they're growing all sorts of things as well.
What have you learned from this entire adventure, Hillary?
I've learned a lot about farming. I've learned a lot about cooking the different vegetables, which has been really fun to try to transcribe some of the recipes that people use because they don't obviously write down recipes. They just know how to cook them. So that's been fun to learn. But just essentially just learning how hard people work. It's just people have a huge amount of dedication to wanting to grow and just love it. It's just so good for your soul. So it's been fun to see how much heart people put into this and just what they want to do.
Yeah, I can imagine that one of the things that might be very interesting to learn is some of the cultural aspects of some of the people that you're farming with, you know, because they come from various parts of the world, and they settle here in Des Moines, which, again, may surprise lots and lots of people. But culturally, are you learning stuff culturally outside of the food thing? I mean, you know, holidays, events, those types of things?
Yeah. And a lot of holidays are surrounded by food, so there's different types of food that you eat for different things, just like American holidays. We had a couple of different events at the market. We had the Burundian drummer and dancer group come to our market. And then we have different cooking demos, which has been fun to see. But there's lots of events that go on through our refugee community services. We had a World Refugee Day event in conjunction with the market this year that had about 800 people coming to that to see performances and just learn about the country. So that'll be again next year in June. So keep an eye out for that as well. We're going to continue to do that each year.
The richness of diversity is really an amazing thing. If you can start to embrace all of these different things that people can learn. Hillary Burbank, ladies and gentlemen, she is with Global Greens, an initiative of LSI, Lutheran Services in Iowa. As people are they making the transition into our cultural system okay, or are they clinging to their cultural roots while still attempting to immerse themselves in American culture? How is that thing all work?
Yeah. There's probably a different answer for each person.
Sure.
And depending on how long people have been here. I mean, a big thing you see with children is how quickly children are Americanized and children learn English and then start forgetting their own language. So we feel like the farming and gardening is a really important piece of handing down culture. A lot of the folks that are in community gardens are more of the elder population, and that's like a really, really important way for them to continue to be growing the crops that they knew from their countries and to be sharing that with their grandchildren. But acclimating, it does take a while, and there's a lot of pieces to that with housing and jobs and kind of moving up and finding different opportunities. Yeah, because when folks come, if English is limited, there's a lot of limitations in what kind of work you can get. And people have a lot of skills from their countries, but that just doesn't transfer a lot of time. So it takes sometimes a generation before they're really accessing the benefits of being in this country. So it's kind of a sacrifice for the next generation.
Absolutely fantastic story. What you just said, you know, it's sometimes the... sometimes it's the next generation that pulls in on this. When you talk to people who have made this trek to this country and to here in central Iowa, for crying out loud, from very different climate factors as well, when you're talking to them, why do they say they wanted to come here to this country?
Well, for everybody who's come as a refugee, it wasn't necessarily a choice.
Right.
So everyone has had to flee their own country because of some sort of fear. So fear of war or persecution because of usually it's an ethnic or religious based type of persecution. So for example, in Burma, if someone was of the Karen ethnic group, which is a minority ethnic group, they were pushed out of the country by the Burmese government very horrifically and had to flee to Thailand. But the country of Thailand doesn't allow them to become a citizen. So they're really stuck in these camps, which are kind of walled villages that are essentially, it's kind of a huge jail cell. So for them, it's the option of staying in this refugee camp that has no future, or there's a very small percentage of refugees across the whole entire world that are actually resettled to a third country like the United States. The United States welcomes a certain number of folks every year, but it's just kind of like the last option when there's no option to return your country or to be a part of the country that you fled to.
And recently, President Obama made indication that he would like to up the number of refugees to this country because they're experiencing that horrible mess in Europe with all of these folks leaving the Middle East and as well as North Africa. It's just a horrible mess that they're into. And the president said, you know, maybe we need to move this up to 100,000 people a year. And I suspect that working in this system, and we don't do politics on the NewsHour, we talk about the cool stuff, you know, business and how, what makes people tick. So I would suspect, though, being in the front lines of something like this is pretty rewarding.
Yeah, there's a huge reward in getting to be a part of people's lives that they start their new life in the United States. It's a lot of the cultures that we work with are very, very open, and it's a very much a family feel that their cultures in and of themselves are just such a welcoming place where everybody's a part of the community. And so definitely working with the different ethnic groups, and that's a lot of different countries, there's a huge sense of family and of just, you know, really being able to offer something just by being here and being a friend and being open.
And what you just said, that opportunity, you know, a family closeness in many other cultures is extremely important. And and here in the United States, sometimes we don't do that as much. You know, having dinner with the family is maybe happens once a week, maybe in many families. But relative to this, this is a very important part of their life. I think it's a great program. Thank you so much for coming by and chatting with us about it. Okay, it's called Global Greens, ladies and gentlemen. It's part of Lutheran Services in Iowa. And when we started, you said you could use more land?
Oh, yeah. Community gardens within the city. There's a couple of different zip codes, 50315 Southside and 50311, that we're really looking for more land for community gardens. And then also our farmers who are looking at larger scale are looking for half acre, acre plots to kind of move up their business. So
I'm always
looking for partners for land.
It was interesting. I just had lunch today with a group, and we were talking about the changes that have gone on in Detroit, Michigan, my hometown, where many swaths of land out there have been leveled and buildings have been torn down and rebuilding an agrarian community in the middle of Motown.
Yeah, they're doing some really fascinating stuff there.
They really are. All right, Hillary, thank you so much for coming by.
Thank you.
All right, we got to move aside. We've got the Wall Street Report, also the Iowa 25, and the commodity numbers straight ahead of our time with Phil Roeder. Phil is with the Des Moines Public Schools. We're going to be talking about something good that came out of No Child Left Behind. Possibly, yeah. Oh, and photography on the NewsHour.